Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and you're listening to Daily in the Word. The Christian life is meant to be a close, intimate walk with God. When we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, He becomes our heart's greatest desire. Knowing Him, hearing His voice, sharing Him with others, and seeking to please Him becomes our consuming focus. Having Jesus by our side will truly make the difference. If you find yourself in need of spiritual direction, then I encourage you to stay with us for today's message.
Letting God take the wheel of your life can often seem difficult, especially when life is tough and you're not sure where the road may lead. But if you choose to trust Him, you'll find the peace, contentment, and love that only Jesus Christ can offer. That is why we are in a series entitled Highway 1. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series will challenge you to give God your all, to put Jesus Christ in the driver's seat of your life, and to take your hands off the steering wheel. Right now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Crossing the Bridge of Trust.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's probably one of the verses that we learn earliest in our Christian life, and it's probably one of the verses that we say often or hear often, but do not often practice like we should. You know, sometimes it's easy to come to church and sing a song like Victory in Jesus or quote certain verses, and they become a part of our Christian culture, but not a part of our everyday life. Well, this morning we're going to learn how to cross the bridge of trust, because I believe there are many people here this morning who have come to a place in your Christian life where you trusted Christ as your Savior, but there may be some areas of the Christian life that you have yet to really trust the Lord in. And we're going to learn this morning how to trust the Lord with all of our heart in the Christian life. Now, sometimes in our Christian life, God will bring trials or transitions or testing. Sometimes God will give us commandments, like the commandment to give or the commandment to witness. And these are all opportunities to either trust God or to go back and not trust in His Word. Well, this morning we see in His Word a very clear call to trust in Him with all of our heart. I heard about a mom who was trying to teach her daughter to trust God and how to give God first place in her life. And her daughter was going to Sunday school. She said, honey, she said, here's a dollar and here's a quarter for the offering. And I want you to give whatever one you feel you should give to the Lord this morning. Well, the girl went to Sunday school, and after Sunday school, she came back out to see her mom, and her mom said, well, how was Sunday school? She said, it was fine, Mom. And she said, and what did you place in the offering? And she said, well, Mom, I was going to give the dollar, but the teacher said that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, so I went ahead and just gave the quarter this morning so that I could be a cheerful giver. Now, a lot of times, that's how we operate. We kind of operate by sight. We operate according to what makes us cheerful in that sense. But this morning, we're going to see that God wants our heart to be a heart of trust in Him in every area of the Christian life. After all, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God wants us to learn to trust Him in every area of our life. Well, let's learn about a journey of trust this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, the blessings of the journey. And as we consider the journey of the Christian life, one of the great blessings to me is the fact that God provides for His children every step of the way. I thank God that He saved me. I thank God that He's given me His Word. And I think this morning, before we consider new areas to trust the Lord in, maybe we should just take a minute to remember all the areas where He's already been so good to us and where He's already provided. You know, notice if you would in your outline this morning, the first blessing is that God provides for us in the Christian life. God provides for His children. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And God has provided this earth to provide water, to provide nutrients, to provide the needs of His people. John chapter 3 and verse 27, the Bible says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing nothing except it be given him from heaven. How many of you are aware this morning that every blessing in your life has been provided by Almighty God, and that he has provided many blessings that we simply do not deserve, but that by his grace he has given them to us? Now think about that with me. If God has provided for you, and he has, and if God has provided for me, and he has, then we need to recognize that he is the owner of those provisions. He's the one who has entrusted them with us. He is the one that has given. He is the provider. He is the owner. It has been stated that the law of rightful ownership says when we are blessed with money and material things, we are not getting what we deserve, but what God in his grace lovingly allows us to enjoy and care for. How many of you are thankful you don't just get what you deserve in this life? But we are given by the grace of God many blessings beyond what we really deserve. God, as the owner of all of this world in which we live, provides portions of the blessing to you and to me. Look at Psalm 50 and verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, God says, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. And so everything that this world has to provide is owned by God and is given by God. He is the owner. And secondly, that means we are the stewards of the blessings that he gives to us. When God gives you children, when God gives you a job, when God gives you a home, when God gives you food, when God blesses you, when God gives you money, he says, I want you to be the steward of my blessing. One of the verses that we often see concerning stewardship is found in your notes, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. That's the stewardship with the Bible. That's the stewardship with the blessings of God to our life. He says, I'm going to give you these things so that you will manage and steward them according to my will. That's why we say the essence of life is not ownership, it is stewardship. You see, the unsafe man, he just wants to accumulate stuff. He just wants to own things. But the essence of life is not merely possessing things, but in stewarding those things that God has given to you. And in recognizing that all of the benefits and blessings of life come from the Lord. Randy Alcorn, in one of his books, said, if God was the owner, I was the manager. I needed to adopt a steward's mentality toward the assets he had entrusted, not given to me. A steward manages assets for the owner's benefit. The steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets he manages. It's his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets, then carry out his will. You know, whether that's the purchase of a new appliance, whether that's consideration of Christian school for your child, all we're simply to do is say, Lord, you're the owner, you're the provider. How do you want me to allocate these resources that you have placed here before me? I want to steward this according to your will. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. He's the owner, and we are the stewards or the managers of his blessings. And so the first thing that we see about this journey and the first reminder we have this morning is the simple fact that God provides for us along the way of our journey. Some of you have seen some tougher times in recent days, and yet even through the tougher times, dozens of our members have said, God has provided in this way, and God has given me a job in this way. God taught me a lesson this way. God answered a prayer that I had been praying for a long time. God provides for his people. Let me say very quickly, God prospers his people. I'm not talking about the false doctrine of prosperity gospel, but I am talking about the fact that God promises in his word to bless and prosper people who honor him and who honor his word. And it's really basic. How many of you remember Psalm 1 and verse 1? The Bible says this very clearly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he, this godly man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. My friend, when someone honors God, seeks God's counsel, walks morally upright in their life, don't be shocked when God blesses them. Be thankful that God blesses them and know that God prospers those who honor him and his word. And so he prospers according to the word of God righteously. Notice also, he prospers faithfully. Our God is a faithful God. And some of you have been saved long enough to see he is a faithful God. All too often we regard stewardship simply as a matter of our giving to God. But this aspect is secondary. Before we can give, we must possess. And God is the one who gives to us in order that we, through stewardship, might receive God's blessings, and then that we might distribute God's blessing according to his will. Now that's what James 1:17 says. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want to say it again. Every blessing we have in this life comes from God, who blesses and prospers his people. Every good gift comes from above. Notice what David said in 1 Chronicles 29:12. Both riches and honor come of thee. David was getting ready to build the temple. He knew that if they were going to gather the materials, it would come from God, who had blessed and had prospered them. And so the greatest blessing of all is salvation. And we learned last week, that's where the Christian life begins. We enter into the Christian life by receiving Christ as our Savior. But how many of you would agree with me that along the way of the Christian life, it's not just about getting saved, that's the beginning point, but after you're saved, God blesses and God provides and God meets the needs of his children. How many of you can testify to that this morning? God blesses his children. Now we see the blessings of the journey, but I want you to see with me this morning what I've called the bridge of trust. The bridge of trust. And if you haven't been there, God's going to bring you there soon on your journey. God's going to bring all of us to a place where we get saved. Boy, we like that. We go to church. We like that. We find a Sunday school class. Nice people. We're growing as a family. That's a blessing. Things seem to be going well. All of a sudden, though, we will come to a place where we're standing at a bridge and where it's going to take trusting in the Lord with all of our heart to cross over that part of the Christian life. And how many of you have found sometimes in the Christian life there's more than one bridge of trust, but there's many opportunities to trust in the Lord and to have faith in him. After all, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is a test of the heart. And when you come to a place that you're not really sure how to cross, you're not really sure what to do, now your heart will be tested and your faith will be tried. I remember years ago, I went to the Philippines for the first time. I think I was 14 years old, and there's a group of folks going on a missions trip and several pastors and maybe a few youth pastors and some young people. And we flew to Manila. We caught another little plane down to Baguio City. And then from there, we took some jeeps up into northern Luzon province. And we went as far as those jeeps could take us in the rain, and they pulled the jeeps over. And now we got out, and there were some men from a place called the Kalinga Jungle. And they had been reached by one of the missionaries with the gospel of Christ. And so they met us with these pitch lamps, kind of a fire really coming off the top of bamboo pitch. And now they're taking us through the jungle. They told us, by the way, there's a lot of terrorists here in the jungle, some communists too. And so I was just sure that around every corner we were going to get jumped or shot or something, you know. And finally we got past that danger and we came to a mighty rushing river, maybe 50 feet wide or so. And to get to the missionary outpost, to the church where we were headed, we had to cross the river. Now the problem was the bridge had not been engineered by graduates of the USC School of Engineering. This particular bridge was made of bamboo strips. It had little vines kind of for the handles. And here's this rushing, swollen river going below us. And we're standing there looking at about an 8-inch to 10-inch plank. And we had to walk across the river by crossing that bridge. I'll tell you, I wasn't too excited about it. And as I looked at that, I began to think, all right, those preachers are kind of heavy set. And I know a lot about engineering, but I think I would be wise to let them go on the bridge. If they make it, then I'll go over safely. That's kind of how I thought. And sure enough, one by one, they brought these little lamps, and they began to take the missionaries and different ones across. And I was one of the last ones, I mean, hanging on both sides and looking below. Finally got to the other side, and praise the Lord, I made it, no problem. Now, my reasoning was basic human reasoning. My reasoning was, well, you know, I'll watch and see how they do, and I'll kind of step back here and kind of let them test it for a while, and then maybe I'll run over later myself. But you know, there will come times in your life When God will put you into a situation where you can't gauge your obedience by what someone else does, and you can't judge your activity as a Christian life by how someone else made it, it's going to be between you and the Lord to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And I want you to know that one of the real bridges of trust that people face in the Christian life is a bridge called tithing or giving to the Lord. Many people are glad to be saved and they like church and they like meeting friends at church. And then all of a sudden God says, now I've given to you, right? Yes, you have, Lord. And I've given you a job and I've given you the blessings of this earth and I've given you your family. Yes, you have, Lord. You've been good. And now God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to honor me by taking some of that I own and that I let you possess and that I let you steward, and I want you to honor me with it. And for many people, this is a big test of their faith in God. And so let's look at the bridge of trust. The first aspect of trusting God is to learn to honor the Lord. Notice in verse 9 of Proverbs 3, if you would, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, for those of you taking notes, the word honor means weighty or heavy. In other words, giving to the Lord should mean something to you. It should be a weighty matter. It should be something that's from your heart. I'm going to honor the Lord today as I give to Him. The Bible simply says, honor the Lord with thy substance. In other words, when we give tithes and offerings, we're not giving to the church, we're giving to the Lord, and we're honoring the Lord in this way. And the more passionate our faith, the more consistent our honor and our giving to the Lord. The more serious we are in our relationship with the Lord, the more serious we are about honoring Him. Did you know that in 16 of the 38 parables Jesus gave, that 16 out of 38 times His parabolic teaching dealt with money or giving or possessions? Because Jesus knew that if we had our treasure with Him, our heart would be with Him, and that we truly would want a closer relationship with Him through this form of worship. Now, in this verse, verse number 9, when it speaks about first fruits, it's speaking about the tithe or the tenth part. In the Bible speaks many times about giving offerings above and beyond the tithe. In fact, 724 times we find the word offering. It's in your notes one time there, Exodus 35:21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so many times people gave offerings, but here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, it's speaking about the tithe. And so let me just spend a moment to help many and to review with others what this matter of the first fruits is all about. God says, I want you to honor me with the first fruits. That means the first part of my blessing to you. The first part belongs to God. Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The word tithe simply means a tenth part. Now, in the Bible, you'll find when you read about the tithe, it doesn't say give the tithe. It says bring the tithe. It's not a matter of giving the tithe. It's a matter of bringing the tithe to the Lord. Why do we say that? Because we give an offering above and beyond what is already the Lord's. But here's a basic understanding in the Christian life, basic principle 101 about trusting God, and that is this. The tithe is already the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord, and so we're bringing to Him what is already His. The offering that He has provided for us to give is of a free will and by His grace above the tithe that is given. The LA Times recently was doing a study on charitable giving, and a lot of folks are doing studies on this these days and so forth. And they said that in this past year, past couple of years, I believe it covered, that the Roman Catholics in Southern California had given 1.2% of their annual income to their church. Now, before you get real excited about how good you're doing, the Protestants, they said, have given in the same period of time 2.6. Now, here's the good news, folks. We're not Catholic or Protestant. Isn't that great? We're Baptists. Some of you say, I thought Baptists were Protestant. No, in fact, the Catholics called us during the Reformation anti-baptism because we baptized people who got saved once they understood the gospel of salvation and in essence rejected the sprinkling of an infant. So we were called Anabaptist, and after the Reformation, they dropped the prefix Anna and just started calling us Baptist because we baptized by immersion. But in reality, we were in existence long before the Reformation itself. And the fact of the matter is that with such a rich heritage in Christ, with salvation by grace through Christ, and with all the blessings of God that He has given to us, how many of you think Baptists ought to do at least what the Bible says and bring the first fruits or the tithe unto the Lord? And so all of us can be challenged this morning. Tithing is God's fair way to begin in your stewardship. If you're standing at the bridge of trust in this matter, I want to encourage you to begin walking by faith and trusting God as you begin with that 10% beginning point, giving unto the Lord. I remember 30 years ago when Terry and I were getting ready to get married, and we were talking about establishing our household, and we literally had a little practice budget that we were making. And we looked on the paper and we could not figure out how we could give 10% and still afford macaroni and cheese and hot dogs and all the other essences of life that you need to enjoy. And I said, honey, I don't see how it's going to work. She said, I don't either. But by faith, we begin. And since that time, God has blessed, and we, of course, have increased and given much more than the tithe every year. But God wants you to begin somewhere. And for some of you today, you're saved, you're enjoying the journey, and now there's a bridge. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Give to the Lord the first fruits of the increase. And so it is the will of God. Time gave an interesting report. And every year the statistics remain similar. But they said recently that the state of Mississippi is the 49th poorest state in America. Anybody here from Mississippi? All right. I know of one or two in our church. Good people, by the way. 49th poorest state. But the 49th poorest state last year averaged $4,070 in charitable giving per family. That is the second highest giving per capita, per family in the United States of America. The 49th poorest gave the second highest. Now then, go to the state of Massachusetts, and they are the fourth in this survey. They are the fourth wealthiest state in the United States of America. And last year, the average family gave $2,645 per family. That means they were 49th in their charitable giving last year. Someone says, what's the difference? I can tell you what I believe it is. I believe that there are people in Mississippi who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are so thankful that they are not hell bound. They are thankful they're heaven bound, washed in the blood, on their way to heaven. And my friend, with Jesus as your Savior, there's a hope, there's a joy, there's a desire even to give. And God, even as He did in the New Testament, can touch the Macedonians who didn't have a whole lot and help them to do something great and mighty beyond their knowledge and understanding. And I believe that faith in Christ is a great difference in the giving of those people. Now, God says, I want you to give of the first fruits. When I bless you, I want you to honor me. Every time I bless you, I want you to honor me. Then He wants us to do this secondly with His people. God wants us to honor Him as we gather with His people. The church at Philippi was excellent at doing this. The Bible says in Philippians 4:15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, the church is called in the Greek language the ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. We are here today called out from this world. Most of us in this room are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are His possession, and we're here called out today for a purpose. And when the churches get together, one of the ways they worship God is by giving to Him. And Philippi did it time and time again, the Apostle Paul said. They would get together, take an offering, and send it to the missionary. Larry Burkett, in his book, Business by the Book, said, one of the primary goals of a Christian business is the funding of the gospel. In other words, as God blesses your business, as God blesses you at work, one of the thoughts a Christian man has is, how can I further the gospel with this blessing? How can I take the blessing of God and honor my Lord so that others can know how Jesus Christ saves? And so we honor Him with His people. Then notice thirdly, we honor Him according to His plan. Now the Christian life's not that hard. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now think of that. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. Now in the Greek, every one of you means every one of you.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled Highway 1. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. Friend, if you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748, or you can visit our website at dailyintheword.org and click on the Truth About Eternity link. I encourage you to jumpstart your day with inspirational messages from Pastor Paul Chappell. Sign up now and receive daily devotionals emailed directly to your inbox. Whether you are home, at the office, or on the go, make God's Word a part of your day. You'll be encouraged, challenged, and energized to grow in your relationship with God every morning. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.